everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John Couch. John engineering and producing the show. And off we go into a new week, as we took Easter Monday off yesterday. So it's one of those days where you get a three-day weekend. And today, the Tuesday, feels like a Monday, but it is. It's Tuesday, April the 6th, 2021. It's called Arizona Gives Day. We'll talk more about that later in the program. We are in our 11th year here on the radio in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Our radio station is 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening on my website, along with many, many years of archives of programs, over 10 years now of programs archived, all available for you on my website. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Speaking of the live line, Terry Bracey, our expert on Washington, D.C. and governmental affairs, with us on the live line. And Terry has played a unique role in representing Tucson's interests, beginning with a 10-year stint on the staff of the legendary Congressman Morris K. Udall. Terry was then appointed to sub-cabinet by President Carter and subsequently served under four presidents of both parties. He's the founding partner of the respected public affairs firm Bracey, Tucker, and Brown, which has worked on many of Tucson's successes in the nation's capital. Hey, Terry, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. We have a beautiful day here in the nation's capital. Beautiful day.
We've got a pretty good one here, too. We've had a really hot start to April, but we're still, looks like we cooled down to the upper 80s. What a great weekend for the University of Arizona, the Lady Cats, the University of Arizona ladies basketball team. They can really hold their heads high after a terrific showing in the NC2A finals.
Oh, I was so impressed by their whole approach. I mean, they have such heart, and what a great coach Ada Barnes turned out to be. And great basketball teams really are great defensive teams. And they caused the Stanford Cardinals to turn over the ball 21 times. Stanford having some of the best players, the McDonald All-Americans and everything else. But Arizona really made me proud.
Let's take a moment to honor a friend of yours, friend of mine as well. Longtime Tucson Mayor Bob Walkup passed away since we have last spoken, Terry Bracey.
What a great, great man. Mayor Walkup, in his own time as mayor, he wasn't probably congratulated as much as he should have been. It was a tough time post 9/11, we had the terrible shootings in Tucson, all of which he managed as well as could be done. But Mayor Walkup had the uncomfortable job as an engineer of understanding and fixing the underground in downtown Tucson, which had fallen in tremendous disrepair, and upon which that underground and all the connections and the brownfields and all those things that he had fixed. And people said, well, what is he doing? Well, they couldn't see it, you know, not until he produced the streetcar. And he was really a wonderful mayor and a wonderful man and a wonderful friend, and I miss him.
You know, I used to ask, he was on my television show on Channel 6 every month, and I would always say, when are we going to see some progress downtown? And he talked a lot about fixing stuff we couldn't see. But I remember the thing he was most excited about, and you actually, Terry Bracey, had quite a bit of, had a hand or two in this, in the decision of the federal government to bring the funding for the streetcar to Tucson. I think that's probably going to be Mayor Walkup's biggest achievement.
Well, he did a wonderful, wonderful job of selling it here in Washington. He even befriended the then vice president and now president, Joe Biden, and sold him on the idea. Mm-hmm. So Mayor Walkup was a very, very special man, and he deserves all the honor that we can give him.
How is President Biden doing? How is the agenda moving as far as you're concerned?
I have to give him an A. I really do. I'm a pretty tough grader sometimes with folks in government back here. Maybe it comes from being old and cranky, but I mean, look, he promised 100 million doses of vaccine in 100 days, and now he's doubled the number. He promised to get relief to those who need it and do it promptly, and now he sent $2 trillion in relief to American homes and businesses. And now he's preparing to send Congress really a historic infrastructure package, biggest thing we've seen since the days of Franklin Roosevelt, and frankly, I'm amazed at how well he's done.
Well, there is opposition, as you well know, and a lot of it actually on the other side of the aisle saying he's moving too fast. Is there any room for bipartisanship in this agenda?
Well, there should be. And I think what the president sees is what I'm hoping the Republican leaders will come around to see, which is that we've really fallen behind. I mean, when you look around the world and see airports, highways, hospitals, schools, everybody is doing a better job because after 9/11, we went off and fought these multi-trillion-dollar wars in the Middle East where we did build schools and hospitals and airports there, and maybe they were needed, but boy, they were needed here. And now we're catching up. China says we're on the downslide, and they're trying to convince the rest of the world that China should lead in the 21st century. And no doubt the Chinese will have a big role in it. But I think that President Biden in this infrastructure package is saying something larger than a bunch of projects. He's saying, America, we need to take back the leadership by showing what we do at home. So I think it's a very big deal, and I hope, and I think there will be some bipartisan support for this. I hope there will.
You think he's going to get it done, and what kind of time frame do you think this infrastructure deal will take?
Well, it won't be tomorrow. I mean, this is a huge, huge undertaking with many, many elements, some of which are quite controversial. But I think in the end, probably by the August recess, we'll see major parts of that bill, if not all of it, emerging from Congress. Think of some of the stuff we're talking about, 500,000 charging stations for electric cars. And it's not just an investment in the future of auto technology, but it's a huge investment in carbon reduction. $80 billion for rail modernization. It's going to change the way many Tucsonans get to Phoenix and back in the future. And maybe fewer lives will be lost on that I-10, which I hate to drive on. Residents of Bisbee and Douglas and other rural communities are going to get broadband, email, online services as quickly as we do. And that's going to attract growth to their communities. So billions more are set aside to prepare, God forbid, for another pandemic, labs, hospital space, needed equipment, planning, expertise. And then just the tremendous investment they're making in pure science, which is sort of been starved as we fought these wars in the Middle East. We're going back to funding pure science and the kind of stuff that put us ahead of the rest of the world after World War II. It's a big, big deal, but I think probably by August it'll get through.
Then there's the whole thing about how we're going to pay for it, and something Shelley Fishman, who's with me here in studio, we've talked on quite a few of our sessions with Shelley about this. What are your views on that, Terry Bracey?
Well, you know, I would have to, I'd bow to Shelley in terms of how this, I don't like talking about taxes, but here's my take. Corporate rates were once 35%. We took them all the way down to 21%. Which is among the lowest in the world. Now we're trying to get them up to 28% to help pay for this. I don't think anybody's going to go broke paying for that. For road repair and construction, I think we're going to have to get creative and do something new. Usually we have done it by adding to the gas tax, which is about 18 cents now. But the problem is that we're going to be having electric automobiles, and so we're talking about a different kind of tax, vehicle miles traveled. So you got and use I-10 or whatever road we're talking about. In some way, we'll calculate how much each of us uses and pay that way. And then, you know, I bleed for the guys making and the women making $400,000 a year and more, but it wouldn't hurt them to pay a little bit more. So I don't know, but I'll let Shelley do the analysis on that.
Terry, I'm just about out of time, but Arizona and other states have really been what they call, legislatures looking at what they call election reform. Generally, what's your take on all of this? Many would say, hey, this is voter suppression laws.
Well, Bill, I certainly don't think there's anything wrong when necessary for states to act to protect the sanctity of their elections, no doubt. On the other hand, there is no surer way to destroy a democracy than to discourage voting. And I'm not sure about what's going on in the Arizona legislature. I don't like what I read, but I'm not sure about. But I am quite sure about the actions that have been taken in Georgia, which are blatant attempts at voter suppression. And I think the most interesting result is how corporations and professional sports leagues are reacting. As you know, Bill, I'm really opposed to corporations playing a role in elective politics. The reality is they do. And having them come out so boldly against voter suppression laws, I think, is positive.
All right. On that note, Terry Bracey, always a pleasure. Have a great day, Terry. Always a pleasure to have you on our program. Thank you.
Okay. Enjoy it. Bye.
Thanks a lot. Terry Bracey with us on the Buckmaster Show. And this portion of the program presented by our friends up at Mona's Danish Bakery. We had a lovely breakfast up there on Easter morning, Mona's northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. I mean, it was delicious. Every component of it, the toast with the eggs, the breads that they do up there, just really amazing. And by the way, the Now hiring is what I want to say, not for sale. Now hiring sign is out at Mona's. So if you're looking for a great opportunity, check it out, monasdanishbakery.com, and just say Bill Buckmaster sent you, and owner and chief baker Steve would be happy to talk to you about an employment opportunity, perhaps, up at Mona's. Again, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise, open right now for lunch. We'll be right back with Shelley Fishman.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com. A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
And here he is, Shelley Fishman. Shelley, how are you?
I'm well, Bill. How are you doing today?
Doing well. We heard you were with me here in studio as we were listening to Terry Bracey. Terry making that prediction that he believes by August we will have a pretty massive infrastructure program coming out of Congress. And, of course, money came up. How are you going to pay for it? And Terry said, I'll defer to Shelley. So, Shelley, what's your bottom line?
Well, I'm going to write the check.
And you got to cover this for us.
Terry is right. I think the time frame for at least the first half of this will be in the August time frame. The reason it needs to be before September is because September starts the new fiscal year.
For the federal government, that
the
is true.
For the federal government. And, yep. and assuming that the president and the administration are unable to get the kind of bipartisan consensus they'd really love to get, they'll have to do this through reconciliation. And to get it into this year, they're going to need to do that before the new fiscal year.
Looking good, those numbers on unemployment. I think it surprised a lot of people on the markets.
I think that the markets have been forward-looking and optimistic, and you and I have talked about the fact that we keep on getting, except on Tuesdays, we get these really record-breaking days.
Tuesday tends to be a downturn for some weird reason.
Must have something to do
right
with
around our reports, but go ahead.
Right. but what happened on Friday when we got the new numbers for March, those numbers came in significantly higher than they were expected to come in, almost a million. Over 900,000 new jobs created and filled in the month of March. The thing that was really significant is that those jobs were kind of spread out over the entire economy. So it wasn't just new jobs in government or new jobs in services or new jobs in construction. It was all over the silly place.
Mm-hmm.
And that really shows resilience in the economy that people had not expected. In addition, the numbers for January and February were revised up a million, so that what had been kind of a disappointing February turned out not to be disappointing at all. And the unemployment number, the gross unemployment number, which I believe is really closer to 10%, maybe come down a little bit, was published at 6%. Again, lower than anybody had anticipated for the month of March. In addition, what we found out this morning, it may have been yesterday morning, is that the GDP growth numbers for the third and fourth quarter of last year were revised upwards. So we're now beginning to see GDP growth that is really reflecting optimism. Now, we're coming out of a dark place, and this GDP growth is not being reflected across the society. So we still have large swaths of the population that are hurting badly. But when you take a look at the macro number, the growth coming out of this horrible recession caused by the pandemic has been very, very enthusiastic. Also, the attitude numbers, both in retail and in services, are as high as they've been in several years. When you put all of that together, Bill, you see a degree of optimism in the markets and among economists that I haven't seen in years. And the climb out of this, thanks to the COVID stimulus and hopefully the infrastructure stimulus that comes out of this next round of legislation, is going to push this economy in a very positive direction. And I'm monopolizing. You might want to ask your question.
Well, I do want to ask you something, and I think that we're seeing the pent-up demand. Take the travel industry. Who would have thought after last April's numbers, where virtually no one was getting on an airplane? Now the major airlines are saying by summer, they're very close now to being back to pre-pandemic loads, load factors. So
right, and the only reason they're not all the way back to pre-pandemic is that there's overseas travel is very limited.
Exactly, and I was going to get to that component. Because of restrictions that are required to get back into this country if you do travel overseas. Once those are dropped, I expect international travel is going to pick up big time as well.
Absolutely. So every sector of the economy is just kind of frothing at the bit to get back to where we were. And now with what the president has announced today, which is everybody starting, I guess, the end of this month.
Mid-April.
Mid-April, the 19th, that's right.
Anyone over 16, I believe.
Can get the shot, and, right. And we're seeing very positive results from the testing that they're doing on kids. Mm-hmm. So the willingness and ability of the economy to really recover and recover more quickly than people anticipated is very optimistic for the markets. Now, the gloomy side of this is that we're not going to get to pre-pandemic levels in terms of actual GDP until the end of the year.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say there's choppy waters that are ahead.
And there's that possibility. There's also this possibility of some of these variants on the COVID virus that could cause surprises, a fourth peak in cases. So we need to be careful. I don't think we need to be dumb and foolish and just, walk around indoors in public places without masks.
For investors, so much money, Shelley, and we've talked about this before, about money has been parked on the sidelines. Is that money coming back into the markets?
Well, that money comes in a couple of flavors. Mm-hmm. One of the flavors where it's going to come back into the markets is this pent-up demand, because we have probably 40% of the population that would have been spending money on travel and restaurants and those kinds of things, and is just aching to get back in. You and me included.
Yeah. And they've been spending it on other things like home improvements, and try to find lumber these days. Oh, the price of lumber's.
Try to buy anybody to put, two nails
in a piece of
lumber.
The pandemic year was the year of the home improvement. Now, people have done, I guess, just so much with that, they're ready to get up and go.
Right. But the other piece of money that's sitting there
is
the money that is begun to accumulate because of the lowered tax rates on corporations. Mm-hmm. Now, the first tranche of that money was given back to stockholders, and in some cases given to raises for management. But there is more there. I believe corporations are being very, very careful. They're not building factories. They're waiting to see what the demand is, so that if we were to raise the corporate tax rate, the nominal rate, from 21, say, to 25, mm-hmm. which would get Joe Manson back on board, then that would be easily borne by America's corporations, and they could then, because they'd have a longer-term outlook, begin to look at demand and say, we've got to start building factories. That would be huge.
The whole dust-up over day trading, and we had the gaming, people were doing all that kind of, controlling the market, not controlling it, but influencing the market. Is that kind of behind us now?
I don't think it's behind us, but I think it's been mitigated somewhat.
Okay.
So what we're seeing is the large brokerages trying to figure out how to bring those consumers or those traders back to them, and they're using free online trading to
do it. They're using different products as a come on, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, that should see some reduction in the volatility that we've experienced. But, you know, I think we can still look at a general trend line up in the markets. But, you know, on any given day, we might get seasick.
Yeah. Speaking of choppy waters, it's always going to be choppy waters.
Right.
That's part of life. All right, Shelley Fishman, I hope you have a great week. We will look forward to your visit with us at about 12:20 next Tuesday. Until then, stay safe. Have a great day, okay?
You too, Bill.
Thanks a lot. We'll be right back.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience, prioritizing social distancing and safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures that your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
In Enjoy the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley. Savor the view while sipping on locally brewed craft beer and enjoying gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, at West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehops.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We're in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio. This weather is perfect for doing some spring gardening, so now would be a terrific time to head over to Green Things, 3384 East River Road. There are 13 acres over there. You will not be disappointed. They have amazing plants, trees, annuals, and more, and they have Zocalo Village with all that great furniture, much of it handcrafted in Mexico and Latin America as part of Zocalo Village. The website's greenthingsaz.com, zocalovillage.com web, and now address 3384 East River Road. The Buckmaster Show live line presented by Rincon Ventures, real estate and property management. We go now on the live line in our conversation, our monthly conversation. We call it Your Meds, featuring Dr. Ray Woosley, former UA College of Medicine dean and founder and now president emeritus of the Tucson-based Critical Path Institute. He's a UA College of Medicine professor in Phoenix as well, and his latest venture is Credible Meds. It's a nonprofit, and it's one of the world's most trusted sources for information about medicine on the web. Credible Meds website visited each day by over 2,000 people from 180 countries. Visit crediblemeds.org today. Dr. Woosley, how are you?
I'm good, Bill. It's good to hear your voice again.
Well, it's good to have you back. You know, today is Arizona Gives Day. It's a chance for people to help out local nonprofits like Credible Meds. Would the help be needed? Or is it needed?
It's always needed. Yeah. We really appreciate the donors that have kept us going now for over 20 years. And it's the donors and the grants that we've been able to get that makes it possible for us to provide information about the medicines that almost all of us take every day.
Dr. Woosley, we now have the president saying everyone over 16 should be vaccinated as soon as possible. In fact, he's hoping that all states will drop requirements or the requirements that kept the age level much higher. He hopes they'll drop it down to 16 by mid-April. How do you see the whole vaccine rollout going so far, Dr. Woosley?
Well, I think Arizona's done a pretty good job. We're actually right in the middle of the pack. Arizona has about 18% vaccinated, and some states, though, like our neighbor in New Mexico, has 26% vaccinated. So we could be doing better, and I'm encouraging everybody to do better. As now that anybody can get the vaccine, I hope everyone will. And Credible Meds is available to help answer questions if anybody has a concern about the vaccine. We want them to know that they really should do everything they can to get vaccinated as soon as possible so we can protect each other. It's life-saving, and there's this race between how many people we can get vaccinated and how fast the virus is mutating, because every day there's a chance that the virus can mutate and the vaccines will no longer work and have to be redeveloped.
You know, there was an article in the New York Times about the reluctance of so many Americans for various reasons, and not trusting the government, worrying that the vaccine isn't safe. But whatever, there's millions of people, Dr. Woosley, that are very hesitant about rolling up their sleeve and taking the vaccine.
Well, you know, we've got now tens of thousands of people who've been in trials to test the safety of these vaccines, and every trial has shown that they're very safe. The FDA has been more rigorous than ever before because of the importance of these vaccines, and they have been given outside of studies to hundreds of millions of people around the world. So I have no doubt that they're safe, and I would encourage everybody to know that there were no shortcuts in the development. you know, there was concern because we got them within a year that there were shortcuts. But these vaccines have been under development for more than two decades, and they only had to be targeted or tweaked at the end. The last year was spent making sure that the targeting was working and that they were hitting the virus the way it was intended. So there's nothing new about the concepts behind these vaccines. It's, as I said, over two decades of research on how they work, and now a full year of research in tens of thousands of patients showing that they're safe and effective, more effective than we'd ever hoped they would be.
I think once the vaccine is available to the point where you don't even need to make an appointment, it's basically walk into your favorite pharmacy like you do with the flu shot, I think that could change some of the reluctance that some Americans have. They've heard all the horror stories about the difficulty with the portals, getting an appointment. Would you agree with me, Dr. Woosley, but that will take one more hurdle out of the path?
Absolutely. So many people don't have internet access, and getting online to sign up and make an appointment just is hard for a lot of people to do. So be able to walk into your drugstore or anywhere, you know, one of these mass vaccination sites where the line will be hopefully much shorter, will make a big difference. The other very important thing to remember is you don't have to pay for this vaccine. Your tax is paid for it, so it's free. If you have health insurance, it may be billed an administration fee, but it shouldn't cost you a penny. The other concern I've heard, and I want to reassure people, some people think that the vaccines have been created using fetal tissue, and no fetal tissue is used in the manufacturing of any of the three vaccines we have. So that should not be a concern. And the vaccine, the long-term safety, vaccines don't have long-term side effects. They have some people who might have a sore arm or a little fever for a day or two is the only side effect that you have to know about. Some people who've had major allergies and have to carry EpiPens, a few people have had reactions like that. But the way it's being given today, you're asked to wait for 15 minutes after you get your shot so they can make sure that if anything does happen, it can be treated. And honestly, I have not heard of one person that's been harmed by these vaccines in the hundreds of thousands that have been administered.
You know, there's also a very important point about that people who have had COVID, they've had a horrible experience. Many of them are what they call long-termers. Their effects of the disease continue for weeks, sometimes months. We're finding, some of the research shows, that these people, when they get the COVID shot, the long-term issues disappear. That is very encouraging.
Isn't it? It just tells you that some sort of long-lasting immune reaction is occurring with the vaccine, with the virus, and that if you can get vaccinated, you can help improve those, maybe get rid of those chronic foggy brain and the other symptoms that people are having. So that's very encouraging, Bill.
And people still are getting COVID. And if you do get COVID, contact your doctor as soon as possible. There are life-saving antibody infusion treatments that are available. They're free, and they can prevent your illness from worsening and save your life. It's a big deal.
Exactly. And I think it's really the data show that people aren't getting those and people are continuing to die. So if you do develop, as you said, if you have the early symptoms, get treated with the infusion. That's what happened to our former President Trump. He received that antibody infusion, and the evidence shows that it saves thousands of lives if you can treat it early enough. So encourage everybody to test frequently, and if you test positive, find out how to get those antibodies infused.
Dr. Woosley, always a pleasure. It's great to talk with you and reconnect with you again. Again, crediblemeds.org. Today is Arizona Gives Day. Think about Credible Meds. It could really help a lot of people, and I know you're providing a terrific service. Thank you very much, Dr. Ray Woosley.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. We will continue on this Tuesday afternoon. Coming up next, the head gentleman over at the Pima Council on Aging will be joining us. I'll talk a little bit more about Arizona Gives Day right after this. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Our friends over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, are ready to open up their arms and welcome you back as New Mexico is once again open to out-of-state visitors. We heard Dr. Woosley talking about the terrific job that the Land of Enchantment, their health officials, have done in providing the vaccine and getting the vaccine in the arms of New Mexicans. In fact, they lead the nation in terms of the amount of people, the percentage of people who have actually had, I think, at least one shot. I think it's at least one in three people now are vaccinated over in New Mexico. So that means it'd be a great time to take a safe journey, only a three-hour drive east of Tucson, to visit a beautiful area of the Southwest. You can hike in the Gila National Wilderness, or what about the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument? For more information on what to do, and there's a lot to do, and some great places to stay as well, visit southwestnewmexico.org. It's great to have New Mexico back. The Buckmaster Show Live Line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the Live Line to W. Mark Clark. Mr. Clark is president and CEO of the Pima Council on Aging. Mark, how are you today?
I'm great, Bill, and please call me Mark. You know, Mr. Clark, I think that's my father.
Oh, okay.
At least it was.
Well, Mark, I know it's been a difficult time for so many nonprofits. Today is Arizona Gives Day. We can talk about that in a moment. But how has the pandemic changed the way that Pima Council on Aging delivers services?
Well, Bill, it's changed the way we deliver services at PCOA in so many ways. It was, I think, March 16th of 2020 that we actually closed down 12, or stopped serving lunch, in 12 community centers all throughout Pima County. We did that. That was a Monday. We got notice on Thursday that the city of Tucson was going to be closing their senior centers and community neighborhood centers, which was about 8 of our 12 sites. So we worked with those great partners at City Parks and Rec, and also our friends down at La Posada and Pima County Parks and Recreation and Catholic Community Services, our whole array of contractors, and moved those lunch programs. That was about 335, 350 people were eating their main hot meal of the day 5 days a week in one of our facilities and one of those centers. And we moved on Monday to grab and go, and we're still at grab and go for those meals. We started a whole new program where we worked with a couple of great food providers, the cafe at the J at the Jewish Community Center and Stay Naked Kitchen. We contracted with them. They're delivering prepared meals into 13 apartment complexes in the community that are focused on older adults, primarily low-income older adults. So we've done that. And our Meals on Wheels program is actually seen a fairly significant increase. In fact, in December, I think we served more than 37,000 meals in that month, about a 53% increase in the number of meals. We changed our facility structure. We actually just opened our Lupu building out on East Broadway to walk-in in-person visits. People need information or assistance. While we most of that work we found we can do online or over the phone. People can now walk in. We were open until the second week in December, and then we opened back up on April 1st.
Mark, tell me a little bit about how this has impacted older people. The isolation of it has not been a good thing. Certainly, it's been very difficult on older folks in our community interacting with others. How has PCOA helped mitigate that?
Well, we definitely isolation, but really it's the loneliness that comes with isolation that causes real bad health outcomes. There's a study out of Brigham Young which said it's the equivalent of smoking about 15 cigarettes a day.
And so we're
so aware of that, and we converted a whole, we had like 15 support groups we were offering throughout the county for people caring for family members or friends, family caregivers as we call them. We converted that over to Zoom or online support groups. We've done much more outreach in terms of phone-based support for clients, and we pre-recorded on video brief exercise segments, because we were offering in-person exercise, evidence-based exercise for older adults in 6 or 7 different locations in the county, and those all got closed down. So we pre-recorded some stuff, and about a month ago, we were able to restart our classes again virtually, the city of Tucson has begun to open up some of its senior and neighborhood centers just in the last couple of weeks. And so we're in discussion with them about what it might be like to get some of that in-person programming back in place. And I suspect it's going to be another month or two before we're able to figure out exactly how to make that happen. But that's a whole nother issue. We produced a video blog for a couple of months, so people could connect with us that way. So lots of different stuff. We know, for instance, that those lunch programs, I mean, the major focus of those lunch programs, while it was food, the secondary benefit, and actually the one that people told us was maybe for many of them more important, was the socialization that they were able to do over the table. Both our home-delivered meal program and our lunch program were 5-day-a-week programs, and really since the third week in March last year, so for now a year, they've been 7-day-a-week programs. So we've been actually able to put more food into the bellies of older adults during this time by being able to get meals into their houses. And then the city of Tucson also last August gave us a substantial chunk of money that we needed to spend by December, the end of December, because it was federal, funding that had an expiration date, where we shopped for, I think, more than 650 people. We actually were doing shopping for both food and for household cleaning and hygiene supplies.
As a vital nonprofit, Arizona Gives Day is important to PCOA, isn't it, Mark?
It is. People have been so generous to us this year. Really, it's been we have been touched and amazed at folks reaching out to us in very significant ways. So Arizona Gives, it's definitely an important issue for us, but not all of our supporters and those who we serve spend that much time online. And so
right.
Arizona Gives has not been quite the significant piece for us, but it is so very important. We've had several generous individuals who gave us matching money this year, and so we're definitely hoping to do better this year than we did last year. And we did quite well last year. So it's definitely an important year for us. And it's an important year for all of the charities in Arizona, and certainly here in Pima County. So I would just encourage people, if they want to go to azgives.org Patreon.org/PCOA and support us. That's great. But really, just reach out and support the charities that are most important to you.
All right, Mark, I've only got about 30 seconds. Have we gotten the vaccine into the arms of older people, most of them, by now?
We have not gotten them into the arms of most people, but we have gotten them into the arms of a lot of people. And we've been working very aggressively with the health department since December and are continuing to try to figure out how to ensure equitable distribution of vaccines. And we're right now trying to develop some even stronger outreach programs, because now we've gotten vaccines into the arms of people who have technology and transportation, and have been able to access these services in difficult circumstances. But what we need to do now is really double down, because there are folks out there who are homebound who still want to be vaccinated and need to be vaccinated, but are going to take more work to get directly to them.
Mark Clark, President and CEO, Pima Council on Aging. Good catching up with you, Mark. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Bill.
That'll do it for the Buckmaster Show. Bill Buckmaster with you, hoping you have a great afternoon. On behalf of my engineer producer, John Couch, stay tuned. Dave Ramsey, his popular show on money. Have a great afternoon.